And we're going to start recording now. Okay, welcome, folks. Can you hear me now? Folks, can you hear me? Yep. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I was quiet there for a second while I was hitting the record button. I planned that, really, I swear. I'd like to welcome you, everyone. Waiting for the slide to catch up here. Today's meetup, just a quick note about what the online Cool Fusion meetup is, in case you don't know. This is an online-only user group meeting. No physical locations or anything like that. Where's the camera? I'm actually hiding it today because I'm not very pretty today. You can find out more at coolfusionmeetup.com/17. And Charlie, I bet we can make an alias for that somewhere else. Just make it a bit easier to remember. But that's out of our control, unfortunately. All the meetings are recorded, and just a few minutes ago, before I hit record, someone asked about, you know, where you could find those recordings. There's the URL right there. It's www.careheart.org/UGTV. And Charlie can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he has a whole heck of a lot of recordings, not just the ones for this user group. I believe everything he finds.
Absolutely.
Cool, yeah. So, I mean, if you want one place to grab everything, definitely go there. A quick note about CF United, and this is related to where Charlie's presentation is coming from. It's definitely one of the best conferences out there. It's been around for, you know, it's had a few names, so I would say 5-6 years. Charlie, is it seven?
Nearly ten.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I was definitely wrong.
I'm not sure exactly,
but yeah, it used to be called C-Fun.
Yep. Yep. It came out, I think, right after the first Alaire conference.
Somewhere around then.
Definitely an old one, and you can tell by you know, how professional it is. Definitely very well run. Definitely very much worth your money. So you know, I definitely encourage you to you know, attend. I know sometimes it's hard to get the boss to open the purse strings. If that's a problem, this is something where it's definitely, I would say, worth spending your own money for, you know, definitely to further your own career. So even if your boss says no, you know, definitely consider paying for it yourself. And it's a great place, too. And I brought the family before, so it's worth checking out. And there's the dates, June 27th, 2 days before day long. Okay.
Sorry, that's a mistake. Yeah, yeah,
two days prior to the conference that have these day-long classes.
There are four of them.
And this is one of them.
Right, yeah. And that's an optional payment, correct?
Absolutely, separately priced.
And I'll talk more about that later.
Cool. All right. And obviously more information at cfnited.com. Yeah, Phil, I think that's because my speakers are blasting out Charlie. As soon as I'm done, I'm going to mute mine, and that won't be a problem again.
Gotta get a headphone.
I have that. It's not plugged in. Next time, I promise. All right. So today, we have Charlie, Mr. Charlie Earhart speaking. Waiting for the slide to catch up here. Charlie likes us to know that he does not work for New Atlanta anymore. I know he had some problems with that at CF Objective. He's definitely an old-timer like myself. I think even older than myself. Definitely one of the big guys in the community. If for some reason you're here and you have no idea who he is, then you're in for a treat, I think. Since 97, certified developer, all that fun stuff. And Charlie, you were editor of the CF Journal for a little while, correct?
That's right.
From 2001 to 2003.
I wouldn't say he gets around. He's definitely been around for a long, long, long time. And as you see, he's been an author. He's also working on the CF WAC books, which I believe are clocking in around 30,000 pages or so. So I hope you can plant a forest for each edition you purchase. And with that, I'm just going to let Charlie take it away, and I will be muting so you won't have the echo anymore. And Charlie, get going, buddy.
All right, thank you for that, Ray. And hello, everybody. And welcome. Thanks very much for that introduction, and let's wait to hear. Yep, good. It sounds like Ray's turned off his mic, his mic and his speakers. So thank you for that introduction. So this is a talk that I'm going to be giving. That's, as I mentioned briefly, there part of a set of 8 classes that I and 7 other people are doing that are the 2 days before Monday and Tuesday of the week before CF United. There are these day long classes. So clearly these previews can only really give you a tiny taste of what they're about, because they're literally a day full of information each. So it'll be 8 hours, you know, with lunch in the middle. And I'll talk more about that stuff later. So this talk is one of those previews. And I chose to do this talk, you know, I called it New in CFMX 6 and 7, What Did You Miss? And I'm sure some people are thinking, what are you doing talking about CF 6 and 7? We're going to 8, man. You've been hiding under a rock. You've been somewhere else. And that's not the case. No, I was, you know, following it very closely and very interested in it. But what I did observe over time is that frequently people would not, you know, move to the new releases. There's plenty of people still running on CF5, still plenty of people still on 6, and then there are those on 7. So I want to talk to those people, as well as those who maybe had moved to the new releases but hadn't done anything with them, to help you understand what's changed. Because even if you're just going to skip to 8, you don't want to miss what was new in 6 and 7, because sometimes I see people doing things, in effect, the hard way, because they just aren't aware of what changed in those intermediate releases. So that's what the focus of this talk is about, to tell you, you know, why would you worry about it? And then here's the crux of it. And I'm only going to have about 20 minutes that I'm going to be able to just give you a real taste of what we're going to cover. But the point is, I'm going to make that there's more than just the 2 releases. There have been point releases and updaters and hot fixes. And so there's really been a lot. And if you didn't keep an eye on each one of those things, you could easily have missed stuff. And I just see it all the time, things that people have missed. And most importantly, I want to say that it's more than just the major features. I mean, when Adobe, or previously Macromedia or Allaire even, would put out their announcements and their web pages and the more recently blog entries, the focus was mostly on the things that were big new features. And most of us can list several of the major new features that came out in 6, maybe in 6.1 and 7. But, you know, there's so much more to it than those major features. Each one of those releases and those updaters and point releases even have so much more to it. In fact, you know, Ray commented about how I've been around a long time. And my very first article in the CFDJ was back in 99, and it was on developer enhancements in CF4. And the next article I did in early 2000 was Hidden Gems in 4.01. Now, some people may laugh, you know, like, I didn't even know there was a 4.01, but that's my point. I, in that article, was able to point out dozens of things that were new in 4.01 that I'm telling you to this day, there are things people still don't know about. For instance, I'll just throw as an aside, it's not really what we'll talk about, but just an example of how significant these things can be, and yet, you know, nearly 7 years later, people still don't know about them sometimes. If you're ever trying to pass in a list of form field values that are, you know, red, comma, blue, comma, green, and you want to pass that to a where in clause, you might feel stumped, because you got to get quotes around the red and the blue and the green. And how would you do that? I see people go through incredible hoops to loop over the values and stick the quotes in. And many of you know that there's a very simple single function, but many of you don't know. And it's called list qualify. And it solves that problem. Bang. But if you never saw it, then you'd never use it, and you go along for a long time never even knowing that it's there as an option. So that's what we're going to talk about, is clarify that there's more than just the major features. Also, I want to clarify that we'll talk about more than just CFML. Sometimes people focus only on what's new in the language, what new tags or change tags or drop tags, and what new functions, change functions and drop functions. But there's much, much more to ColdFusion than just tags and functions. So we'll talk about all those things. Now, while I've been talking for a minute, I've seen some messages pop up. Let me hop over real quickly to the display and see if I'm missing anything. Okay, there you go. Good to hear, James. Yeah, it's awesome that can be valuable to people. And then I want to also talk about migration issues, because, again, naturally, if you're still running on either CF5 or 6 or, you know, 7 when you go to Scorpio, in all those cases, there are potential migration issues that you need to be aware of, and you don't want to ignore those. So these are the things we're going to talk about throughout the day. I hope you can see why there's going to be a lot to cover throughout the day. and I'll point out all kinds of things. And what I'm going to do in this preview is just give you a little taste of each one of these, okay? And then share a little bit along the way on the day what we've learned from each release, because sometimes things came out, and this is important. Sometimes something might have come out, say, in 6, and it didn't work out real well, and it got fixed in 6.1, or it got fixed in 7, or it got fixed in an updater since then. And you might be holding a particular feature in ill regard because you tried it when it first came out, and it didn't work well. And it's amazing how sometimes these things have been fixed, and you didn't know it, and you've been ignoring a feature, and it's gotten much, much, much better. Or worse, you read blog entries, and you think that they are contemporary, and they're telling you what's true about a topic, when if you look closely, it's from 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, and it's really referring to something that's no longer true. So again, in the course, we're going to kind of share tips along the way to say what things have been learned to try to help you get excited about these various things you might have missed along the way. And finally, as I always do, I'll talk about resources for learning more. So I'll give you plenty. And you might be truly amazed at the resources that are out there. So many people, if either they just think about the docs, and in many people's minds, all they think of is the reference manual. And there's so much more to the docs than just the reference manual. That won't be the focus of this class, but it's a common refrain I make, which is, you know, for instance, don't forget that there's a developer's guide. It's 1,000 pages. It's really the user's guide to ColdFusion. It's not about walking through tags feature by feature. It's instead introducing the things you can do in ColdFusion. You don't want to miss that. Well, what I'm getting at is, in this presentation, I'm going to point you to things that are specifically related to documenting changes that happen in all the different releases. And again, you'll be amazed at how much documentation is out there, and it'll really help you so that, for instance, even if you aren't coming to the class, you might want to at least go looking for those docs on your own. And then I'll finish by telling you a little more about these day-long classes and how to get into them. I'll skip over this since this has already been done in the earlier introduction. Some of it's the stuff that Ray hinted at, and some of it was on the screens. And I've already given you some of this taste already. Why would we worry about it, what's new in 6 and 7? It's because, you know, you may still be running 6 or 5, or even if you're on 7, you may have only gotten there recently, or either way, you maybe have never done any new coding. I know a lot of people who they've just got their code running on a given box. Maybe some one project or application required it and they upgraded it because of it, but then there's a bunch of other applications or you're on a host where you've not touched your code and you really haven't taken advantage of the new features. That's really why this is so important. And you may have missed out since you weren't paying attention. There was a whole lot of news and buzz, and some people think, well, everybody knows that and everybody knows that. Well, that would be true if you were following it contemporaneously when that was being discussed, but if you weren't really interested at the time when 6 came out or 6.1 came out or 7 came out, then you probably missed out on what those things are. So again, we want to share that, share what people experienced, and try to make clear to you what you may have missed. I made the point that it's about more than just the two releases. Again, there's the hot fixes. Every release has had a set of fixes that came out, and those fixes are often rolled up into updaters, and those updaters can be very important. And then those updaters might be rolled up into point releases. And anywhere along the way, some new feature might be introduced in one of these things that might be important to you. And you might ignore them because somebody else is responsible for, quote, applying fixes, and you don't even realize that a new point release, for instance, or updater added some substantial new functionality, or more importantly, they may have fixed something that you didn't like, that nobody was finding was working well, and so again, it would improve your perspective on a given feature. So I just can't stress how important it is to know about what those other point releases and such were. In fact, let me give you just a quick overview of the timeline. If you didn't know it and hadn't thought about it, let's talk about how things have changed. We had 6 come out in 2002. It was called Neo, and there were 3 updaters, the last one in March of 2003. Then we had 6.1 come out later that year, and it was called Red Sky, and there was an updater for that the next year. Then 7 came out. A lot of us knew it as Blackstone, and that was followed up with some hot fixes. Again, check out, there was, by the time of July, there were 3 cumulative hot fixes. And don't forget that, more importantly, there have been point releases. 7.01, or what was called Merrimack, came out later that year. And then as we got into 2006, by the time of CF United last year, we got 7.02, or what was called Mystic. And since then, even, there have been more cumulative hot fixes. Now, again, I don't point this out to suggest anything wrong about the fact that there are point releases and hot fixes and stuff like that. It's just the reality of software. We all know that. You know, open source projects sometimes change every week or two. So if you can see the timeline here, it's been approximately every 6 months that something has come along that's added something new, and that's not too bad. My point for this presentation is to say you may be amazed at the new functionality that got introduced along the way, and we will in this class talk about what came, and you'll be just really amazed. So just before we move on to those little hidden things, I'll just say that, you know, there are those major features. Most of the press and talk that happened focused on those features. They're the ones that sell new copies of ColdFusion. That's why they're the ones that are prominent. Nothing wrong with that. We're going to look at those and point out how they maybe served a class of developers that they needed to reach. Maybe you weren't in that class of developers, but you still ought to think about what that feature did. Some, for instance, just to remind you, what were some of the major features in CF6? Well, there was the introduction of CFCs and the ability to consume and publish web services, the introduction of integration with Flash remoting, and working with XML data. Those were the major new features. There were others, for sure, but those were the major ones. And it's just good to be reminded that, oh yeah, that's when that was came out, and that's where I'd find lots of good information about how people were getting started with that. And then at 7, of course, we've seen lots of new stuff with, you know, CF Document and reports and Flash forms and XML forms and the charting, new ability to do charting, improvement in searching, all these features, you know, little tiny things that maybe may be of more interest to some people, but this is just a long list of the things that came out in 7. Again, let me just clarify. Remember, this is only a 20-minute preview. I don't have time to go over each one of these. We will in the class go over each one of these. It's just to kind of, you know, re-sync where things happened and what came in the different releases. Lots of improvements in deployment in 7. A lot of people maybe missed out, for instance, that you now finally have sourceless deployment. And the admin API is a really cool thing. And if you didn't know it, there's even a license usage scanner that you might want to be aware of. And then finally, the gateways. Those were very, very helpful to some people. Others maybe haven't found them helpful, and maybe it's only because you were too busy looking at all the other new features. You do want to go back and revisit these, especially things like the async gateway, or the, you know, directory watcher feature in the file system gateway. Lots of things. And you may be interested in SMS and XMPP and things like that. And again, we'll kind of level set everybody on what those are about, how they work, how to use them. That's all I wanted to say about what the major features were. But again, my point is there's much more than just the major features. For instance, just I'm going to focus in this talk, in the only, you know, we have about 10, 15 minutes left. For instance, I want to point out a lot of the new stuff that came out in CF6. So we had CF functions. Now, a lot of people use them only inside of CFCs, but you don't have to. CF functions can be standalone functions. They're basically alternative to the tag-based UDFs that were introduced in CF5. And it's something that more people ought to be using because there's almost always a chance where you're doing some piece of code over and over again inside of a single template, which doesn't justify and warrant creating a CFC, but it does justify using CF function, and people just often haven't thought of it. We had dramatic new features in login processing in CF6 with a CF login tag and a whole bunch of tags related to that. We had improved sandbox and resource security. That was quite different over what we had in CF5 and CF4. There was an improvement in charting with CF chart versus the old CF graph. We had CF trace. I still see a lot of developers today who struggle with trying to get debugging information, and they stick in CF outputs and then run their code. Well, if you didn't know it, CF trace is an awesome little tool that you can drop into your code and have it write out its output. And check this out, if you didn't know it, it can write it out in line right there on that point on the page, or it can write it out in the debugging output, or it can write it out to a file. And the really cool thing about CF Trace is that you can leave it in your production code, and it's controlled, whether it works or not, is controlled by the admin console. Just as you can turn on and turn off debugging, you can turn on and turn off support for CF Trace. So again, that's one of those little things that a lot of developers never notice, and to me, it's incredibly important. Many of you are very interested in internationalization and localization. That was another major feature of CF6. But the list just keeps going on. It just keeps going on. It's amazing. We had regular expression support improvements. We had changes in CF throw and CF log. We had dramatic improvements in CF-HTTP if you use it to read in text files. There was Verity K2 server improvements. You added much more flexibility to create comments. You could finally put comments inside of tags for those that might want to do that. I don't know if it's a great idea, but you could do it. That was the point, is that there was a lot of little things that you might have missed out. And I'm still not done. I'm just talking about 6. Look at all these things that changed. Query of query enhancements, CF mail spooling changes, sort changes, just on and on and on. And then there's a bunch of stuff that I like to classify identifies hidden gems. And I talked a lot about these in articles that I wrote or in classes that I gave. CF location finally worked, even though you'd set a, sorry, if you'd set a cookie and did a CF location, the cookie finally got set. Now, some of you are probably still under the impression that that doesn't work because it didn't work in 5 and 4, but it was fixed in 6, and it does work. You can finally set a cookie and do a CF location, and the cookie will be set. There was improved features and functionality regarding compilation and pre-compilation of templates. The underlying built-in web server had a lot more extensibility than you maybe knew, and that's still true in 6 and 7 and will be in 8 if you use the built-in web server that's in ColdFusion. It's got a lot more extensibility than you probably realize. You maybe missed out on this feature called CF import. Maybe you saw it as a feature for doing what were called Java server page extensions, but it's also useful for custom tags in ColdFusion. It was a way to point to a directory of custom tags in one statement and then use prefixes in a very different way than you maybe had done before. We also had a new server-side redirect that was added. I wrote a whole article on that. That's basically forwarding, and if you don't know what forwarding is, it's very different from CF location, so you want to know that that's there as a tool in your arsenal, and we'll talk more about that. And then there were also tag updaters. Actually, I had this saying CF Studio because when I first talked about this stuff, it was back in that time frame. Of course, since then, it's now called HomeSite Plus. For those who don't know it, HomeSite Plus is on the Dreamweaver CD. If you have the Dreamweaver CD, on it is HomeSite Plus, and it's basically CF Studio 5.1 or 5.5 or higher, depending on which version of Dreamweaver you get. The point is, there were new CFMX level, and then since then, CF7 level tag updaters that you could drop in and have access to all those tags inside of Studio or Dreamweaver. There were still more hidden gems. I won't elaborate or belabor these, but just to make my point that there is so much that sometimes even just in a major release like 6 was introduced that had all kinds of functionality that if you didn't know about it, you might still be writing code today that would dramatically improve in its functionality. I'll do the same sort of review of what was new in 7, as well as the point releases and the updaters that came in between. So I hope you can see that you might say, how could you talk about 6 and 7 for a whole day? Maybe you could talk about the major features. No, I'm not even going to focus on the major features. I'll show them and discuss them real quick. But the real focus will be on these hidden gems that often you've missed. So it's going to reach both those who want to take advantage of the major features and those who maybe knew about them but missed out on the little things. We'll also talk about things that don't have anything to do with CFML, changes in the admin. There were new features added. There have been removed features, important changes in certain defaults that if you didn't know about it, you need to understand them. And I should clarify, too, that whether those defaults take effect would be influenced by whether you ran the wizard that upgrades your server from one release to another. There's a feature where you can say pull all the old release features into the new release admin. And if you do that, then you don't necessarily get those default changes. So there's an important distinction to be aware of as you contemplate this stuff. There were changes in the docs, changes in underlying configuration, changes in the tools and the editors under the covers, and platform changes. You know, naturally, we know that CFMX ran on Java, but there were also changes along the way in what servers and operating systems were supported, changes in things like the underlying Axis, which does web services, changes in the underlying gateway for XMPP, changes in the underlying database drivers. And sometimes those new changes were rolled into a point release or an updater. Sometimes they were not, and it's left for you to decide you want to get them. So somebody may say, I'm running on release X, but we don't have these latest database drivers. Why is that? Well, Adobe and Macromedia had to make a decision. They decided maybe they didn't want to roll the new drivers in because they might have adversely affected those already on the release, so they left it as something you need to add manually yourself. So we'll talk about that sort of stuff and how to get those if you're at one of those releases and you haven't yet updated those kinds of things. All right, so phew, that was a lot, no question. There's a lot to cover. That was just a taste of it. I'm going to point out resources for learning more, and if I leave you with nothing else, I want to point you to some resources that you can look into on your own. For instance, I want to point out that if you're on 7, or if you're about to move to 7, or if you move to 8 and you skip 7, don't miss things like the upgrade guide. There's this complete upgrade guide that goes into considerable detail about the major things and sometimes even the minor things that are new in a particular release like in CF7. There's even a migration guide. Some people would be stunned to find this, I think it's like 100 and some pages of, I think it's 175 pages of migration information. You might say, well, that sounds like way too much for a migration guide, but the point is that it's useful information. There may be really valuable things inside of there that you want to check out. Now, I want to say that a lot of what I've gathered up is not from these things, it's from other resources. So you won't get everything out of these that you'd get by coming to the class. I don't mean to say that, but you will get a lot of stuff that you should definitely take advantage of. And if you didn't know it, there's an evaluator's guide, and there is one for each release typically. And these things are awesome too, because they go through introducing the products in a way that describes them to someone who's not using ColdFusion. And you might think, well, it sounds like it's baby steps and handholding, but no, sometimes it's really meaty, useful information, so you should definitely check those out. And then there's an addition comparison matrix, and this is really valuable because you can look closely and check out what was changed in the broad pictures between each release. And then there's also going to be resources I'll show you that'll show you specifically each tag that's changed, each attribute that's changed. And again, that's not the level of detail I'm going to do. I'm not just going to put that picture up and go through it, but it's useful for you to know that there are these resources that you can go back to anytime you need to be able to find out what's new and what's changed between releases. Okay? So that's the 20-minute introduction to what we're going to cover in this class, and I'm going to turn back to questions in a moment. But before I do that, let me just say a couple closing things, which is that these classes, there are four of them. In that slide that we put together as an intro to the thing, I say four-day-long classes. It's not four-day-long classes. It's number four of them. They are each day-long. There's four on Monday and four on Tuesday, and again, they are separately purchased from CF United. You can find the other classes, the other seven classes and mine, at the CF United site. Just click the button there for classes, or here's the URL to go to it directly. And the classes are all day. They run from 9 to 5. Lunch will be provided, and the price is $4.49 for each of the classes. So each one, day long, $4.49. That's a price set by CF United. And you can register for my class in particular at this URL. More importantly, if you just go to the CF United page, click on classes, for each class you can get to the details and click on a link to register for the class if it's of interest to you. So I hope that was a useful introduction to you guys of what we're going to talk about. If we don't answer questions in this talk, I want to tell you, you can always email me at charlie@careheart.org. I'd also appreciate your feedback. We don't yet have any feedback. Well, actually, I'm sorry. We do have a feedback mechanism for the meetup. So there's a place where you can do feedback. If you're a member of the meetup, I'll point you to that, or Ray will point you to that later on at the conclusion. But I also, for all of my presentations I ever do at any place, online or offline, I have a feedback area on my website where you can offer feedback, and I'd appreciate it. And also just point out, I'm available for consulting remote or on-site, and that some of you know about my pay-per-minute support called Ask Charlie. But we're going to leave it at that, and I want to turn now to opening the floor for questions. There's 44 of you there, so certainly some of you have got to have questions, or maybe not, and it was just a good introduction, and leave it at that. Do I offer classes apart from CF United? It's funny that you asked that. That's something that I'm actually thinking about doing very much. I'll say that I do teach the Adobe classes. There's the Adobe Fast Track to ColdFusion and Advanced ColdFusion classes. But there's a lot of things that I've felt are not in those classes that I've long wanted to address, and I'm planning to do that either in real live classes or in online classes. So you'll be hearing more about that from me later. Thank you for that, James. The slides, we don't have a place. Well, we have a place. We haven't. Yeah. So yes, we can put the slides that I did. Sure. Those handful of slides that I did, I can put those up on the website for sure. On the meetup site. Let me clarify. So the meetup.com. So coldfusion.meetup.com/17. On that page, one of the many things on it is a files directory, as well as a message board. And we'll be posting the recording, as we do after every meetup. We'll post the recording on the message board. And I'll also put the presentation, as a couple of people have in the past. We'll put it up in the files area. It'll also be available on my website. All my presentations I've ever given are available on my website, careheart.org/presentations. Someone's asking, is this class covering new features in Scorpio and comparing it to 7 and 8? Well, it's funny, 6 and 7. It's funny, Mahesh, I was torn about that, because when I put this presentation proposal in, I didn't know what I'd be able to talk about regarding Scorpio. And so I didn't call it anything having to do with Scorpio. Now, since then, we've had more and more publicly released information, and so I'm torn. I'd like to, but frankly, I think we're going to find I have so much information that there won't be time. I may slip in something that I've put together called Hidden Gems in Scorpio. I gave a preview of it at CF Objective in a Birds of a Feather session, and literally we sat around for an hour talking about a lot of little things that you don't hear about that are new in Scorpio, but that really wasn't the focus of that class, so we'll see. I may add it in, and I'm torn as to whether to actually announce that in advance, because I don't want anybody to come thinking it's going to be about Scorpio. It would only be the last maybe last half hour to 45 minutes if I can do that. We'll see. Okay, thank you for that comment about an online day class. I may consider that. I don't think I should try to do it prior to CF United. That just kind of wouldn't be fair to them. They want to have people take those, but maybe afterwards I might consider it. And so again to Chris, Ray, are you saying you're offering training? There you go, ping you off. There you go. who's Nas from your students and clients? So someone asked what hidden gem from 6 or 7 has gotten the most user or Oz, and gosh, there's so many of them, like I said, and it really depends on where somebody's coming from. There are some things that appeal to hardcore developers. There's some things that appeal to admin-level people, so it's kind of hard to put my finger on any one. I'll have a better sense after I've gone over this stuff, and maybe I'll even put something together like that at the end of all the materials that I have when I do the class on the day. Anybody else want to comment on any great hidden gems they've seen in 6 or 7? Hey, Yuron, while we wait for that, Yuron asks, will we be talking about Java objects? Yes, and actually that was, like I said, I didn't show you everything that was new. We will, in the course of the class, yes, have a whole section on calling Java objects. But again, if you think about it, that's just one of probably 100-some things we'll have to talk about. So I won't be able to go into it in great depth, but I will make it clear to people that one of the great new features in 6 was the ability to call. Actually, I say new in 6. It actually was there even in going back all the way to 4.51. That's when you were first able to call Java objects. You just had to implement the JRE under the covers. But as of 6, of course, it was embedded. So anyway, yeah, you're able to call Java objects, and we'll talk about doing that. Well, we're getting close to our half-hour time frame. Actually, we're at our half-hour time frame, so it looks like maybe we're getting down to the end of the questions. We'll let Mahesh finish typing whatever he's typing, and then we'll turn it back over to Ray to conclude. Come on and hit enter, Mahesh. Because you can see who's typing. You guys ever noticed in Acrobat Connect, you can see someone's typing just before they hit it. Love the flash paper. Yeah, flash paper and PDF and that stuff in 7, and we'll talk a bit about that. Okay, so I'm going to have to turn this back over now to Ray to finish up with the presentation. Ray, you should be able to hit the sharing tab and go back to the presentation. I'm not sure which one of those it is. I think it's the first one. There you go. Good. Take it away, Ray. Thanks, everybody. Well, if we've lost Ray, I'll go ahead and do the closing comments because I'd put them together. It's something that I had done for each one of the meetups we've done in the past. So, okay, so that's it. There's one more that's in the middle there. So we want to thank Adobe for giving us access to the Acrobat Connect setup. It's really great that they let us have it. Any user group, by the way, can do it. If you're a user group manager or attend a user group, just know that Adobe does give user groups access to Acrobat Connect account. And they let us record them. As Ray said, we're recording this one. We've recorded all the others. And they post that recording. They host it on their website, and then we get the URL and share it with you. Thank you for those who said they got some hidden gems. Great. I really appreciate that. The recording again will be posted. The message boards URL at the meetup is just /boards, but just go to the front page of the meetup site and then look for message boards. And Ray mentioned that, there you go, Ray mentioned that the careheart.org, my site, I have a UGTV. So the UGTV is a place where you can find almost 100 now. I think it's over 100 recorded user group presentations by over 80 speakers on all kinds of topics. And you can search it, sort it, get RSS feeds. It's really amazing how much information is out there. Evaluations. When you're done with this presentation, you can go to the meetup site area and you can fill in a little survey to say what you thought of this particular class, and we'll offer this the URL after every class. That's the specific event ID for this class that we just did, so do check that out and you'll get emails there. The conference again is CF United, and it's just literally cfunited.com. And the next session will be next Thursday. Same time, same bat channel, 12:30 Eastern time, and it'll be Simon Horwith doing a preview of his talk, day-long talk, called Architecting and Optimizing CF Applications for Performance and Scalability. Chris asks, will the eval URLs be sent out in an email? I believe that's the way the meetup system works. Yes, everybody who is a meetup member who had RSVP'd for the meeting positively will get an email asking them to confirm it. Sure. Okay. So that's it. Until next time, this is Charlie Earhart. Thanks for watching, and we hope to see you out there and out and about in the CF community. Until next time, see you.